Hi, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Free K-12 Education Talk Radio on May 10th, 2022. We got a nice show for you today with old friends, good friends, two wonderful superintendents out in Illinois. Ooh, get that off. There we go. Out in Illinois, not Illinois. Okay, I don't know where that came up with. Okay. Nick Polyak is the superintendent of Leyden High School District. Mike Lubefeld is at North Shore School District 112. We'll get into all the stupid ways Illinois names its school districts. One's in Highland Park, Illinois, and the other is somewhere out in the Chicago area. Okay, that's Nick. And we're going to talk about their new book, The Unfinished Leader, which they wrote with P.J. Capozzi. I want to mention P.J., who is not here today with us, but he is alive. I don't mean to imply that. He is alive. Okay, but he's not with us today on the show. So we're going to talk to Mike Lubefeld and Nick Polyak, great superintendents, about what the book means about being, quote, an unfinished leader. All about K-12 leadership, school district leadership, really good stuff. We're going to archive over at ace-ed.org. That's ace-ed.org. Ace-ed.org, that's the home website of our American Consortium for Equity in Education. We archive all of our podcasts there. There's a icon you can check and see whatever you want to listen to over there, and you can listen right through there. We have a link to SEL Today, our social-emotional learning site. It's a good resource center when you're doing work in social-emotional learning. We're very concerned about the educator shortage. We have a new website called teacher-retention.com. That's linked there, too. That's a big concern. The educator shortage is monumental out there. We don't want to lose any more great educators, educators just like you. Please stay in teaching and encourage others to do so. We've got a lot of good information over there for school districts, et cetera. And we offer some great PD, professional development, focused on teacher retention. So please check it all out over there. And also, I want to let everybody know that we have our Excellence in Equity Awards, our inaugural program to celebrate high-impact work across K-12 education, 27 different award categories, 10 categories for educators and support staff, 17 categories for companies and nonprofits. If you're an educator, you can even nominate yourself or a colleague or employees, or for companies, you can encourage your founders, leaders, marketing departments, others to nominate your products as well as the educators. And we have categories for publishers and authors as well. There you go, guys, okay? Check it all out at ace-ed.org/awards, but again, it's linked over at ace-ed.org. And please follow up on this. We're pretty proud of this program. This is our Excellence in Equity Awards. Check it all out. Again, ace-ed.org. And now I am all done blabbing. Let me get back to my two of my favorite superintendents, Nick Polyak. Good morning.
Good morning, Larry. Good to hear your voice, my friend.
Thanks, buddy. Where is Leyden? You know, I started to say that, then I realized I didn't know which community it was in. Where is it in the Chicago area?
We are located directly east and south of O'Hare International Airport. So our high schools are in Franklin Park and Northlake.
Thank you, and I wish I had known that. And I just, as I said it, I know you're Leyden District, and I just couldn't think of where, with the towns it was. And, of course, we're going to go to Highwood up on the North Shore. Hi, Mike.
Good morning. Great to hear your voice, Larry. Great to be here with you and Nick.
Thanks, buddy. Nick, thank you. And if my voice sounds weird today, it's because I'm having like an allergy attack, okay? And it's like I'm gurgly. So bear with me if I sound weird or something today, everybody. Just one of those crazy days.
Okay.
I'm looking out my window here. Everything's popping and blooming. Mike was sick last week. How do you feel? You okay?
Well, thank goodness. Yeah, I'm feeling good. I was one of the many who got COVID, and thankfully I am I'm back at work, and I'm feeling better.
Good.
I'm not
good.
As tired, and I've got my taste of sense and smell, so this will be a fantastic interview.
Yes, it always is. And Nick, Nick, I want to get into that. Nick, okay, is COVID going nuts? I've heard COVID is like going crazy in school districts since the spring vacation. Do you have anything down there, Nick?
You know what? We've seen a little bit of an uptick, but it's manageable, and everybody's been doing fine with it. So we're just we're almost to the end of the year, so we're holding on.
Wow, that's fantastic. And Mike, how about with you? Is there a surge over in Highwood?
There's
besides
not a
you.
Surge. There's
besides
a slight
you.
Uptick. Yeah, besides me, I think I may be patient zero. We're noticing a slight uptick, but thankfully the weather really is beautiful up here right now, Larry. It's going to be 80 degrees. So we've got air filtration, we've got air exhaust, and we've got the outdoors. So we're just going to finish strong, about 3 weeks left here at school.
Fantastic, and I wish everybody the best. I did hear there was an uptick just around the country, and I've had several friends, including you, Mike, who got sick the last couple of weeks, and I heard in school district it's kind of messy out there. So anybody, just remember that. It's popping back a little bit. Just take some precautions for your students, for yourselves, et cetera. Okay, let's get into what we're talking about today. The guys are great. Where's PJ, by the way? We should have had him on. I apologize for that, guys. Nick, where's
PJ? You know
PJ?
What? He works.
Or whoever. Yeah.
He works harder. Nick? No, you could tell us. I think he just works harder than me and Nick, and he's working.
No, and you know what? The amount of talking that Mike does, Larry, there's not room for another person, so it just wouldn't work.
Thank you. I was concerned about that. Okay, tell PJ we said hello, and he's a great guy. Okay, I'm sorry he's not here. All right, just for that, I'm going to go over to Nick. Nick, you've made the Nick Poliak, Superintendent of Layden 212 over in Chicago, Franklin Park. Okay, talk about the unfinished leader. What is an unfinished leader, the name of your book, which, by the way, everybody can get on Amazon? Go ahead, Dick.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, first of all, this is a project that Mike and PJ and I took on during the pandemic. It's kind of a passion project to keep our sanity in the middle of the craziness we were trying to lead for school. So this was something we did in the evenings and weekends just to keep our mind on something productive and non-COVID related. But really, the idea of being an unfinished leader kind of comes down to one simple thought. And it's that people will often talk about wanting to be the best version of themselves. And we are pushing back on that and saying there's no such thing as the best version. There's only the next version of yourself. We're all in this constant state of being unfinished, this constant state of iteration. And if we can accept the fact that we're always growing and always changing and we're always unfinished, that's a very productive mindset.
And so I'll ask you, Mike, do you find, and you guys know a lot of superintendents, a lot of colleagues, a lot of assistant superintendents. Do you find that people think they are that they are finished? Where do you think people are on that scale, Mike?
I will tell you, Larry, over the years, and, you know, Nick, PJ, and I probably have, 50, 60, 70 years together of observing and watching people, and we've seen superintendents succeed around the United States, and we've seen some superintendents fail. And just to be quite blunt and quite direct, it isn't due to technical competencies usually. It's usually due to personal traits. And, Nick, PJ, and I often say that humility is a trait that should not be elusive. It should be front and center. And, it's challenging to balance pride and humility throughout the work that we do. I will tell you, the superintendents who realize that we have more to learn and grow, regardless of our age or our body of work, they are the ones who are more successful and whose body of work seems to have a greater impact and legacy than those who feel they've arrived and they've got this and they've done that and that we should all focus on them. So I will say I think the trend is tipping more towards the unfinished leader, which is, one of our motivations for getting this framework out. And over the years, we've seen some really, really neat folks who've done some neat work just fall prey and fall victim to the ego. We'll just leave it at that.
Okay, that was a good answer from both of you. So let me ask you this. You're both, I know you both so well. You're both damn good at your jobs, okay? Mike, yours is a K-12 district, am I right?
No, pre-K-8. I can't get out of the 8th grade.
Even
Larry,
better.
I'm trying.
Even better. That's right. Okay. they're good years. Okay. So actually, that makes it even better for me. Okay. And by the way, Illinois school districts are divided, okay, by grade level in many cases. All right. So we've got a pre-K-8, and then Layden is a high school district. How does that shake out grade-wise, Nick?
We are 9 through 12, but we're really 9 through 22, age 22, some of our students came with us for a transition.
That's good. That's good. So we're talking about the whole spectrum here, okay, of pre-K-12, if I may. All right? So across that spectrum, what about PJ? Where's he? Let's include him in this. Nick, where's PJ?
He's pre-K-12. PK-12.
Okay,
in more of a rural area. Yeah.
There. As you look at and take into the years following the pandemic, okay, you've created a framework, the three of you guys, okay, on being, quote, an unfinished leader, moving towards the finish line, which is ever elusive, if I may. It's always moving. You're not Rich Strike, the horse. You don't cross my nose. The finish line is always moving, all right? Tell me, Rich Strike was the horse who won the Kentucky Derby, by the way. Okay?
Nice.
I'll start with Nick. Nick, implementing the framework for becoming an unfinished leader for better leadership, what are you doing at your district that makes that happen? How do you approach that?
I think, Larry, the whole framework starts with empathy. And so, you know, if we can't understand our community, if we can't understand the needs of our kids and our families, we can't even begin to be the leader that they need. So it all starts with empathy. And so how do you get to know your kids and your families and their needs so that you can build the systems and structures that are going to support them? And so, you know, Mike and I love using, there's a quote I use with our staff. Mike and I use it when we talk to folks. And defining the difference between equity and equality. And the quote goes like this, that equality is giving everyone a pair of shoes. Here you go. Everybody gets a pair of shoes. It's like Oprah. You get a pair of shoes. You get a pair of shoes. But equity is giving everyone a pair of shoes that fits.
Yeah.
You know, and so like, that's a very easy thing to understand. But what Mike and I push on is the need for empathy before you can get there. Because if I know the right thing to do, Larry, is to give you a pair of shoes that fits, I need to start with empathy. Well, Larry, what kind of shoes do you need? What are you going to do? You know, what's your shoe size? Do you need some inserts in them? Are you planning to go rock climbing or are you planning to go running? And so if you don't start with empathy, you can't ever lead for equity.
And so how many kids are in your district, Nick?
We have approximately 3,500 students here.
Okay, that's a lot of kids. And again, it's a high school district. Okay? When you look at the empathy, and I love that, by the way, when you look at the empathy, how do you handle that? Okay? For 3,500 people, how do you do that? How do you work with your team and all that? Mike, I'm going to ask you the same questions. Okay? But Nick, how do you work with your team to make this happen? If every kid needs something, if you're giving every kid what they need, how do we make this happen? Nick?
Yeah, part of it is by trying to make our really large high schools really small. And so one of the things
we've done is
we created a brand new daily schedule where we created a 35-minute period in the middle of the day called Eagle Time. And every kid gets an advisor. So there's an adult that's going to meet with them multiple days a week for 35 minutes, and they're going to loop with them their whole four-year experience. You go to these really big high school, but you always get to come back to this really small group where you have one adult who's with you for your 4 years. And that's 2 days a week during Eagle Time. On the other 2 days, we're offering seminars, which are focused focused supports for kids. So if you need some social-emotional help, if you need some math help or some reading and writing help, we have very targeted supports that are individualized to kids' needs that we offer for them during their school day. And so using data, using an understanding of our kids to try to meet them where they are.
And I'm moving towards that word unfinished. Okay, obviously this is something new for you, Nick. Okay, what prompted that change? Because, again, you can't leave things the way they are. You are unfinished. You're moving towards an elusive finish line. Okay, that constantly moves a little further away, okay, which is good. Okay, what prompted all this that made you make that change?
You know, Mike gets his kids for 9 years, and so you've got a lot of time to work with them. At the high schools, we only get them for 4 years. And so,
it's a great point.
So important that we use early intervention and identify kids' needs because, you know, if we wait too long, they're going to be gone and graduated. So I think that there's a sense of urgency for us to really maximize our time with our students here.
I think that was a great answer. Okay, I really find that I hadn't thought about that. Okay, and that is a challenge of the way the Chicago area, I'll say that, schools, okay, Chicagoland, work in terms of that. Some superintendents and educators only get the kids for a short period of time. Okay, I hadn't thought about that. Mike, that's really interesting. Okay, Mike, talk to me. Mike Lubelfeld, talk to me about how you implement the framework, okay, of unfinished leadership in your K-8 district. Okay.
Absolutely.
You know, you do it. So you're telling other people to do it. What do?
You got it. Thank you. So Nick talked a little bit about empathy and equity, which are the foundation or cornerstone of the framework. We also have adaptive leadership, development of others, communication, and the concept of being unfinished that close out the six elements or six pillars of the framework. In District 112, here in North Shore of Chicago and on Lake Michigan, Highland Park and Highwood, we've got about 4,000 students, pre-K through 8, about 550 employees. And we're a pretty large employer here in Lake County, Illinois.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the ways we do it is we focus on, obviously, the students are the prize. So when it comes to student-facing work, we want to make sure, as the superintendent of schools, that I've got a senior staff here at the central office whose entire purpose is to be a resource and support for the building leadership team, the principals, associate principals, and other administrators, so they can be there exclusively to support the teachers and educational support staff, Larry, who are going to facilitate learning and create what we call magic for the kiddos every single day for the very scarce days that we have. You know, we only have about 180 days with our students each year. When you look at it that way, every day should be precious because every child has but one opportunity to go through this. And believe you me, our job security is based on the kiddos being unfinished. But when it comes to adaptive change, we're doing it by simply collecting some data, whether it's how are the children reading, whether it's how are we going to operate school in a worldwide global pandemic, whether it, you know, how are we going to do this or that under the political conditions, and we simply adapt and pivot quicker than we used to. We also are here to develop the leadership capacity in everybody. So one large-scale forward-facing example for us is in District 112, our hashtag that we use on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook and LinkedIn is hashtag 112leads, 112leads. Whether you're a student or a teacher or a support staff or the superintendent himself or herself at some point in the future, you absolutely know that leaders is who we are and what we are, and leadership is who we are and what we do. In terms of communication, I'm very proud to share with you that Nicholas Glenn, our director of communications, and Dr. Monica Schrader, the deputy superintendent, and our entire team together, you're going to meet them this week. We won a gold medallion from INSPRA for communication during COVID. So the short answer to you is this framework is living here in District 112, and it's got all six parts: empathy, equity, adapt, develop, communicate, and staying unfinished. So thank you for asking.
Oh, my pleasure. And by the way, ANSPRA is the National School Public Relations Association, a wonderful group, and I was just in touch with their executive director by coincidence, Barb Hunter, just this morning.
Oh.
You know, we could do scheduling podcasts with them. She's wonderful. Okay, congratulations to you for that. Okay? All right.
Thank
so
you.
If we're getting that award from them, okay, that's a big deal. All right?
Yes.
I'm going to stay with you, Mike. I'm going to ask Nick the same question, okay? Mike, all right, do you have a doctor? You're Dr. Lubelfeld, right?
I do. Yes, I am, yeah.
Okay, you're Dr. Lubelfeld. Then, Nick, are you a doctor? You're Dr. Polyak?
I am, yes.
Okay, you're both doctors. Okay, so you both went through a lot of graduate school, okay, to become superintendents, to become school leaders, to become district leaders, et cetera. Okay, now you're national leaders, and et cetera. Well, you wrote your book, The Unfinished Leader. That's what we're talking about. How does that differ from what you were taught in your graduate schools? okay? And I think that's an important question because sometimes I feel the schools of education are a little far apart from what's actually going on in the districts. And, Mike, can you just, and again, can you, Dr. Lubelfeld, can you talk about the difference between what you learned in school and the reason for writing a book like this to become a great teacher?
Absolutely. So I want to give a huge shout-out to Loyola University Chicago. Go Ramblers. All right. So
there you go.
Graduate
I used
school
to live right
was,
across the street from there. It's six, I'm in Pratt and Newgard, right down the street from them. So
there you
ahead.
Go.
Yeah. There you
beautiful,
go,
beautiful, beautiful views.
Yeah.
So in the Loyola School of Education graduate program, it was an amazing array of reading, thinking about and talking through what incredible leaders had done, you know, basically since St. Ignatius, you know, himself back in the day up through, you know, Senge and Fullan and people of the present tense. It was really, really great about getting depth in theoretical knowledge, getting depth in theoretical constructs, and getting a lot of how-tos once we emerged out of the program into leadership positions. The difference of doing the job for so many years, more than 12 years for me, more than 13 for Nick, and I want to say 9 for PJ, although I might be off, it could be more for PJ, as practicing superintendent specifically, one of the things the unfinished leader, school leadership framework for growth and development does is it says everything you learned in grad school is relevant, valid, and good. And when you get all that together, you need a little bit of oomph and how to do it. And one of the key functions of the unfinished leader is we have a how-to section from our body of work and the body of work of respected colleagues across the nation, Canada, and the world, basically. So we distill that into the how-to guide here in this particular book.
Right, thank you. That was very good. And by the way, I want you to know this is the first time anybody ever mentioned St. Ignatius on the show. I just want you to know that. He's never been mentioned before.
Good.
Right. I just want you to know that. And by the way, just in case anybody forgets, Loyola was in the NCAA tournament, what, 5 years ago now? 4 years ago? Whatever it was.
There you go.
Okay. But they actually won the whole thing, I think, in 1960 or something. Okay, the Ramblers.
I was not born yet. Nick was just a boy, but I had not been born yet.
Nick was 35 when they won that. Okay, no, I'm just kidding. Okay, Nick, Dr. Paul Yak, okay, talk about the book, okay, and how it differs from the education where you went. Again, Dr. Paul Yak, okay, Superintendent of Lynn. Go ahead, Nick.
All right. So,
and if you want to shout out to whoever, be my guest. Go ahead, whatever school. Yeah.
Mike's already done it because he and I both attended Loyola University in Chicago for our doctorates.
Ah, there you go. Okay.
And I would say, you know what, one of the things Mike did not mention about Loyola is that the program there is very steeped in social justice. And so I think there is a great deal of crossover in this work. And, you know, what we learned there and what we're trying to put out here kind of in a more current model through this book and through the work that we do. And I think it really kind of connects to everything we've been talking about. So let me give you an example. We, here in my school district, we saw a need for students who wanted to enter the medical field. We had a medical careers class where they could go out and kind of shadow in various doctor's office, veterinary offices to see if that was something they wanted to do. But we knew there were jobs available for our kids right down the street, and so we partnered with a local community college, and we created a certified nursing assistant track in our school district.
That's
where
beautiful.
Kids, they can go get that relevant experience. They can get the credentials to go work right now if they want in our community, and then we celebrate them. So every year now, it's coming up, I think, next week, we do a white coat ceremony where we graduate our certified nursing assistants. We give them a Leiden medical white lab coat as a show of appreciation for that kind of milestone in their life. And so that's just an example of, I think, how we're trying to put that social justice, trying to put that on, like, the organization here is unfinished. So we looked and said, hey, there's a gap. There's kids who want this. Let's create it for them, and let's celebrate them when they reach that piece. And so I think that's just another way we're trying to live it out every day.
I got a big smile on my face. What you're doing is very important. Okay, CNAs are the folks who take care of people who many cases really can't take care of themselves. Okay, they don't need per se a nurse or a doctor. They need care, okay? And CNAs are the people who do that. It's, they're that group of unsung heroes, okay, in our society. It's not an easy job, and that's really a very nice thing that you guys are doing, which brings me actually to one of the things we want to do. And actually, I was watching Bill Maher. They kind of touched on this past week. Okay, you know, we have to get kids to where they need to be to succeed in life, and making them CNAs, et cetera, and to be able to recognize the world we live in. Social justice has changed, okay, and become more to the forefront, certainly since George Floyd was murdered, that sort of thing, okay? And it's just important that we just constantly keep moving these districts around, okay, and having them, you know, just keep moving the kids in the right direction. And I want to ask this. There's another thing, and I, you know, you guys both know I do a lot of work with teacher retention, okay? And teachers are very concerned just nationally about, quote, a lack of agency in the running of the school district. That's been on a lot of the surveys as the number one thing, sometimes even higher than salaries or whatever. And I think Mike mentioned this, to just, you know, have good communications. Okay, but communications are both internal and external, as ENSPRA will tell us. Okay, Nick, working with your staff in this day and age, as an unfinished leader, what has changed recently? And I know you're a good superintendent, you've always involved them, but just knowing what's going on these days. Nick.
Yeah, I mean, we actually just put out a survey to our staff in partnership with our teachers union. And we said, it was four open-ended questions. What's going well with your building administration? What concerns and questions do you have? What's going well with the district administration, and what concerns and questions do you have? And I'm in the process of going through those results right now. And one of the things that we tell people is there's no such thing as bad feedback.
That's right.
Some feedback is, right? Some is easier to hear and some is harder to hear.
Yeah.
But, you know, we can't go lock ourselves in our offices and act like we're doing everything 100% right. We need to open up those channels. And it's hard because some people, you know, aren't comfortable getting that kind of feedback. We made it anonymous. But I think you have to do what you can to stay in touch with what the feelings and emotions are out there. It goes back to that whole idea of empathy. Like, you have to understand before you can be the leader that people need you to be. And so, however we can open up those communication channels and hear where people are, that's super important.
It really is. And, you know, it's funny. I'm thinking, you know, you can't just go in your office and close your eyes and ears and hope everything's all right, okay? And you got to listen to the folks that are there. I hope it wasn't too painful. I have a feeling it wasn't that painful. Okay, Mike, how painful was it, okay, at 212?
I'll tell you, here in District 112.
Excuse me, 112, yes.
Yeah.
No, sorry.
It's, listen, 112, 212, Illinois is crazy. I know it, you know it.
Yeah.
So we've got a series of systems in place to find out what's going on and how are you thinking, feeling.
Yeah.
We've got, we do our annual culture surveys of all staff members, with principal action planning with the school leadership teams to make sure we're focusing on dimensions of culture. We do annual student engagement surveys of all children grades 3 through 8 in English and Spanish to find out what dimensions aligned with Maslow's hierarchy that we're addressing. And we do annually with families. Now, as a result of the intensity of the pandemic, we've also upped the ante.
Yeah.
We've been doing universal screeners on mental health and social emotional with students.
Ooh.
That we've never done in the past, with a parental input, student self-assessment, and teacher assessment with interventions. We've got social workers at every school, psychologists at every school, speech-language pathologists. In addition, we've got a partnership with the Optimistic Household, with Sean Acor from Harvard and the Happiness Advantage and Orange Frog and all of that. We've been working on modules for at-home, focusing on psychology and positive psychology. And recently, We just signed a partnership with EAB, the District Leadership Forum, and we're going to be focusing on quarterly check-ins of teacher morale starting this actual quarter, the fourth quarter before school ends, finding out what are the feelings, what are some of the causes, and what can we do with it. And I'll be working arm in arm with our labor union leadership to make sure that we're staying focused for the next several years. This isn't a one and done, but it's part of systemic focus. Yeah.
Yeah, and again, what you're doing, and I love that, by the way, and what you're doing, you know, it just goes all back. You got to be in touch with your staff. I said this before, we don't want to lose any great educators, okay? And times are
tough.
No,
you're correct.
There. Yeah, you know, things are changing.
It's rough, and, it's rough. And grateful to you, Larry, and the work you're doing. We're actually partnering with you as well. In June, we're offering an end-of-year workshop on cooperative students, happy teachers, and we can't wait for that. We're getting the word out here in District 112 this week. Thank you. It's going to be fantastic.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate that. Okay, you're mentioning that. Okay, it is important. It's important to us. And, you know, and I want to say this again, you know, we talk about unfinished. I always say everything's changing, and my kids always laugh at me. But the fact of the matter is, it is changing. Okay, and we have to be resilient. We want the kids to be resilient. That's what this is about.
Yes.
And actually, that's a good way to put it. Could we call it the resilient leader? Can we call – yes. Nick?
Doesn't have the same ring to it. I prefer unfinished,
Cool. I'm just curious because we're always talking about resiliency out there. Okay, we're always talking about resiliency for the kids. Okay, and that's what this is. You know, it's unfinished for the kids. We have to make sure they just keep going in the direction they're going. So what are the big plans for the end of this year? Mike just touched on those for 112. What's going on in Layton 212? That's what mixed me up. Thank you. I'm sorry. Layton 212.
No,
Nick?
The plans for the end of the year, we're there. Our graduation,
Nick.
Our seniors' last day is Thursday. Our graduations
really?
Are Tuesday and Wednesday of next week Friday. Is the last day. So we're at the doorstep. I think, you know, one of the things when I think about this, the things we've been talking about, we just had an educator signing day the other day. And so all the kids who've followed our career pathway for teacher, they want to become educators.
We brought them
together and have them sign a pledge to be teachers and to be positive and, you know, and people that are going to go out and change the lives of the youth of America. And brought in a speaker, this kind of famous YouTube teacher from Chicago, came and gave a keynote address, and their families were there, and they brought flowers, and we gave them golden apples and had them sign that they're going to become teachers.
Wow.
And so you know, parallel that with what I talked about with our CNAs. And so trying to launch kids from here, saying, hey, you know what? As a high school student, you're unfinished. You're going to this next phase of your life, and we're going to celebrate you and the direction that you're leading here in, and we're going to try to make these memorable moments as you make that transition in life.
Is that what you meant when you said before that you feel responsible for the kids through college? I think you said that, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Larry, I'm a math teacher by trade. I believe in trajectory. I want to know that we launch kids out of here on the most positive trajectory with them having the skills if they want to hit the workforce, skills if they want to go to college, but that they know, at least at this point in their life, where they're headed and that we've done everything we can to prepare and celebrate them as we send them off on that trajectory.
Well, that's pretty good, and I sure wish I knew that before I took my SATs about that you were a math teacher. I did not know that. Okay, my scores were not that good. Okay, Mike, what did you teach? I don't even know. What did you teach before you became superintendent?
I taught taught middle school students in grades 8 and grade 6. I taught them social studies, American history, civics, reading. There's nothing better. I mean, math's okay, I suppose, but it's really all about social studies.
I agree.
Exactly.
I can agree with you. And oddly, this is the weirdest thing. Keep mentioning people. I was just in touch with the National Council of Social Studies this morning, too. Okay, Larry Pascoe.
Oh, I love it.
So, nice. They're a good group. So is Densper, by the way. Okay? This is terrific. Guys, good luck with the book. I'll tell you, you guys really put it together. And please, I will write PJ and send him the link to the show so we can hear that we mentioned his
Thank
name.
You.
How's that sound? Is that good?
Perfect. Huge shout-out. Huge shout-out to PJ Capozzi. He's an amazing superintendent, better friend, and just amazing human being. Yeah, we love PJ.
Nice. Great. And by the way, everybody, we're going to talk to these districts further tomorrow with Mike's District 112, and then we're going to talk with Nick further on Thursday, okay, so and his district. So it's going to be really just getting a little deeper about all the things that are doing away from the book and into the schools, literally, okay? Thank you, guys. This is wonderful. I appreciate it. Okay, I really do.
Thank you, Larry. We appreciate
Thanks, Larry.
You. Thanks
guys.
For the great work you're doing.
Yeah, back at you on that, man. You guys are the best. All right, you got lucky kids working in your districts. Thanks, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, take care.
Take
Bye-bye.
Care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, Mike Lubelfeld and Nick Polyak. On Amazon, you can get The Unfinished Leader, which is a school leadership framework for growth and development for administrators. Okay, so, and if you want to be an administrator, it's good stuff. All right, so please check it out. These guys know what they're talking about. We'll archive at ace-ed.org. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thank you for listening.